Tomorrow, the crucial civil rights bill comes to the Senate floor for debate, and the administration is exerting an all-out effort for quick passage of the bill. However, a number of senators have criticized the broad, sweeping powers of this proposed legislation. The outlook is for a long and serious debate, with the prospect of that famous technique, the filibuster, carrying the debate into weeks, possibly even months. Well, today on the American Forum to discuss this issue, we're pleased to have Senator John Stennis, Democrat of Mississippi, and Senator Arthur V. Watkins, Republican of Utah. Well, gentlemen, let's begin with this question. It's been said this bill is aimed at punishing the South, at imposing confusion, bitterness, and bloodshed in the South. Now, the president claims it's a moderate bill intended to protect the voting rights of citizens. Now, what's the real answer? Senator Watkins, let me start with you.
Well, I would say that it is not a bill to punish the South. The measure applies to the whole of the United States. There are any number of situations throughout the United States that I think need some correction. The South may be involved in it. It probably is, because I think that's the only group of states that have reacted to the bill itself and with some opposition.
Let me come back to you in a moment, Senator, and ask Senator Stennis his opinion of that.
I have no doubt about it. This bill is aimed primarily at the South. It's inspired by those that have been wanting to get this problem enacted into law with effect of criminal statutes. And even though voting rights are involved some, it's directed primarily to the school problem, the intermingling of the races in the schools.
Well, Mr. Coordinator, I would like to say that I am one of the sponsors of the bill, and that was farthest from my thoughts in introducing it, was to get at this school question. The principal thing I had in mind is a matter of permitting all American citizens to have the right to vote, not only the right to vote, be permitted to vote. They have the rights now, but they're not very well enforced.
Trouble is, Senator Watkins, if this bill should be passed, it would then be out of your hands. I have the very highest regard for you and know that you have the very highest motives. Perhaps if our facts about this problem were the same, we might see it the same. But I looked at the population of your state to see just how your schools would be affected. And I find that you have only 1 7% of your people that belong to the colored race. So you have just 17 of those children out of every 1,000, whereas we have 46%, meaning 460 out of every 1,000. And that makes a great difference in the problem.
I realize you have more Negro people in your states in the South than we have in the other states. But we have Indians, and in some states like Arizona, they have a heavy Indian population. And those people, up until here a short time ago, were denied the right to vote. In Arizona and also in New Mexico, but cases were taken into the Supreme Courts of those two states, and eventually they were given that right. In other words, the right was there when they became citizens, but that was in 24 years ago or better.
Well, on the question...
But then they were permitted to vote.
Mm-hmm. Let me clear that up. On the question of schools, it's not just a matter of race. You know, it's thought that the politician of various organized groups represent the front line of opposition to intermingling the races in the schools in the South. That's not the front line. The front line of opposition is the mothers. The mothers of the little girls. And those mothers are concerned deeply with questions of morality. And that's the basis of their feeling on this very serious question.
Well, schools, may I say, Senator, came into this largely through the action of the Supreme Court here recently.
Yes.
And I don't think that prompted this particular bill, because long time before that decision was made that called for the integration of your schools, that had been an issue. The fact of the matter is, when I came here to the Congress 10 years ago, I remember we had a rather drawn-out filibuster over it, and no schools were hardly mentioned at that time.
Yes.
Senator, you mentioned that this will be out of the hands of people like Senator Watkins if approved. What do you mean, that the power then would go to
the Senate? Well, then it will be in the hands of the Department of Justice, who naturally have to be vigorous. By nature, it'll be in the hands of federal judges without trial by jury. It'll be subject to political pressures on the executive branch of the government. It'll continue to be in the halls of the conventions and in every single primary and national election, House of Representative members, members of the Senate, and President of the United States. And you mentioned that Supreme Court decision, Senator Watkins, on the schools. That's the most unfortunate thing. For the racial relations and the building up of schools, that's happened since the most unfortunate war between the states. That's disrupted the cooperation, the friendliness, the spirit of live and let live of the races working together for the mutual benefit of
all. Well, I can understand your feelings. I've lived now in my temporary residence here in the East in the state of Virginia. My wife
yes.
spent part of her life as a girl in Tennessee. I think we have somewhat of the feeling, at least we know what the feeling is, of the people in those areas that are affected by this decision with respect to schools. But I want to say to you that when you mention the matter of being in politics and continually being from here on, I haven't heard anything since anything else since I've been here except this matter of civil rights, the question with respect to the South, how long the South is only going to have one-party system.
Yes.
And how long the North was going to espouse, the Democrats of the North would espouse the cause of the Negroes and the South would espouse the cause of white supremacy. And between the two of them, they'd usually have control of Congress.
My point
of course,
on,
if you want to get, bring politics into it, Senator, I think there's been an awful lot of politics both in the North and the South.
Well, my point on that, Senator, was that you can't build schools and you can't build social customs and the relation between the races through politics and political campaigns and passing laws and having judicial fiats and edicts and United States Marshals or even maybe troops out with bayonets to enforce a court decision.
Well,
now, those institutions are just not built that way.
That the South will lead out and kick politics completely out of the question, and then we'll try and get my northern brethren to do the same thing.
Is this bill purely political, gentlemen? Are you looking, are there those in back of the bill looking ahead to 58 and 60? Is this what you have in mind, Senator?
Well, I think so. I've already expressed myself on that, but I've been around three national conventions and have been here in the Senate 10 years now. And this is about the hottest, most hotly pressed single political question that I've observed in all those years.
It's been present all the time, but this is the first time it looked like everybody was in real earnest with respect to adopting some kind of a measure. Isn't that true?
Well, there's been a lot of drive behind these bills all along. And,
personally, I'd like to see, pardon me for interrupting you, Senator, but personally, I'd like to see the matter settled one way or the other. I think we've taken entirely too much time with it over the years and arrived absolutely nowhere. I can't see much progress been made as far as the law is concerned in the last 80 years. But we pretty soon ought to get it out of politics. Now, I think we get the people in the United States who are citizens, who are not now voting, we get a larger increase in the voting of the people of this country, we'll be better off. Now, for instance, I think it's well worthwhile what Junior Chamber of Commerce and other civic organizations have been doing. They've been urging people to vote, register and vote. It doesn't make any difference from their standpoint how you vote, but they ought to vote. In my state, we take great pride in getting our voters registered and voted, irrespective of how they vote. We appeal to them, and we've been successful in leading the States of the Union several times and been very close to the top at other times. And I'd like to see that all over the country, in the South included.
Would this bill do that, do you think, Senator?
Well, in the long run, I think it would do that because it would give the people of the South who do not now vote. Some of them are afraid that they can't vote, and a lot of other things happen in between.
Senator, the
people in between, I just feel that they can't vote and they don't take an interest. But I'd like to see them all vote. I'd like to see an educational program put on in the South by the Southern white people themselves to educate the Negro people down there to vote, how to vote, and all about it, and discuss the issues with them, and let them become deeply interested.
I'm sure the Senator has a genuine interest in people voting, and he says in the long run he believes that it would. It seems to me he recognizes right there that if this bill should become the law and carried out through the methods that they propose, that it would be a long, long time before we could get back to the good point that we are now with reference to schools and with reference to voting, too. Now, I know... If we're going to enforce laws like this, through the method we've already described here, putting our school boards, our election boards, our county commissions, our county boards, under the gun, you might say, of an injunction or judicial process like that, where they won't even have a chance to have a jury trial if they are jerked up for an alleged violation, We're going at it the wrong way, and I want to come in a little right here, if I may, on this question of the jury trial.
Well, before he gets over to that, because that's one all by itself, I'd like to say something about what this law actually is, what it proposed to do. You asked the question in the beginning, is it a moderate law? And I say it's very moderate. It doesn't take in lynching, anti-lynching measures. It doesn't take in fair employment practices, and numerous other things that come into a matter of this kind.
Could we have a brief?
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, one section of it creates a bipartisan commission to study the this problem in the various parts of the United States, not only in the South, but anywhere in the United States where it needs to be studied. And two, it creates a civil rights department and the Department of Justice, with a new assistant attorney general in charge of it. Next, it has enactment of laws to aid in the enforcement of voting rights and other civil rights. That's one section that's received a lot of attention recently. And fourth, amendment laws so as to permit the federal government to seek from civil courts preventative relief in civil rights cases. Now, the main measure in it is preventative instead of punitive. In other words, in advance, we say voting elections coming on and certain things are happening. People want to register and they want to vote, and their rights are being interfered with, so they claim. Well, then the Attorney General, under this law, would have the right to go in there and enjoin any of those election officials who were depriving these people of the right.
Let me ask Senator.
And it will not punish them afterwards, but it would enjoin them from interfering. Now, that's preventative rather than taking a criminal prosecution letter, which, when you have a criminal prosecution, it's more or less punitive and is sometimes very vigorous.
Let me go to that very point, yeah, Senator.
Let me, you say that it would not punish them. I beg to disagree with you on that, Senator.
Well,
for alleged
some
violations.
Well,
to and then for alleged violations of these acts, when the turmoil is started and the fight is on. Now, what is violating an injunction? If it's a school matter, say, if someone gets up in a mass meeting and advocates that the schools be abolished rather than to comply with that decree, I hope we don't reach that point of abolishing them. But if it should happen, has that man violated the court's injunction? It depends entirely on what the judge says, though, because, Senator, there's no jury trial. And let me address myself just one moment to this jury trial. Now, as you know, we now have a law that gives the right of a trial by jury to one who violates a court injunction if the facts constitute a crime under state or federal law, except when the United States is a party to the suit. Now, that's the clever part of this law. It doesn't change that general law, but it makes a great vast number of cases under elections and under schools. It makes the United States a party to the suit and thereby sidesteps the jury. Now, so a person couldn't call for a jury. Now, I want to ask this question. We have a special statute, by the way, that labor got passed with reference to labor disputes in 1932, the Norris-LaGuardia Act, that provides that in labor dispute matters, or cases arising from facts in a labor dispute, that they will have the right to trial by jury. Now, I want to ask organized labor or any other labor, how are they going to support this present so-called civil rights bill?
You know, they're doing
that
it.
That takes out off the reach of these people that may be charged with violating the law throughout the South, and they'll be, that's where it'll be, takes from them the jury trial, and at the same time, organized labor is keeping their right to a trial by jury under the present law.
Well, I think there's an explanation, if you let me have time now to make it.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, labor has doesn't have injunctive remedies brought against them on a matter of contracts and that sort of thing. In a labor case, if they were enjoined from picketing and doing these things, the time they got around to the decision, the strike would be lost. But you just take the reverse in an election matter. If election officials are restrained from turning down people that have a right to be registered and voted, when the thing is over, of course, there isn't anything on earth that will restore those people's rights to vote at that time.
There's always an election right around the corner.
Oh, yeah,
another one, though.
2 or 4 years from now. But the elections are highly important. And when they turn them down, as they did by a good many hundreds and probably thousands in Louisiana last time, that is important. And these people have that right. That's one of the God-given rights. That's a right under the Constitution, by the 14th and 5th Amendment. And it's the duty of the United States to protect those rights, because those citizens in those communities can't do it. They're a minority, and with prejudice against them and feeling against them and one or two acts of violence, the news spreads all around, and they're afraid to do anything. That's why the United States has to get into this picture.
The protection of civil rights is all right, but this bill does not create a single new civil rights, but brings into operation a group of series of legal procedures and suits and cases that will disrupt and destroy existing civil rights as a practical matter. Now, one more word about this jury. You're going to leave this vast group of people, 30 million people, live in the states that'll be primarily affected by this bill. You leave them without the trial by jury on these vital matters. Still, we continue our faith in the jury system by continuing for those charged with murder, rape, outlaws, aliens, even communists would have the right to a trial by jury, and my people would be denied it. And that's why this bill, so far as I'm concerned and others, we'll fight it till we fall in our tracks, if necessary, to save those essential civil rights that are so vital.
You still have the rights where crimes are charged against anyone in the South. The only difference is in this, that an injunction is sought in an action in a district court setting up certain facts. The judge hears the facts, whether or not there's any threat to the right of the person who wants to vote. And then if he feels there is a threat, then he grants an injunction. Now, that is all in advance. And the fact of the matter is that the courts throughout the land and practically every state in the Union and federal courts all have the right to enforce their own orders. And an injunction is an order of the court enjoining them from doing that sort of thing. All they need, I don't see where they're going to have so much trouble if the people down there are actually living the law now and nobody's being denied their rights. They don't need to be afraid. This will never touch them.
Well, Senator, now on the schools, the people are just not going to surrender the schools that the two races have built up now for 80 years through their cooperative effort and their ways of understanding and working together. They're just not going to surrender those schools, and this law would put the bayonet to their back if necessary in order to carry out that.
If necessary, it could.
It's broad enough. The Attorney General has said that it could apply in school cases.
Yes, but we've gone way beyond the days of sending troops out with bayonets.
While the troops were sent out in Tennessee just last year, they were not federal troops, but they were troops nevertheless. And that community now, I understand, is still living in fear.
That was under the state law, and the government
sent the troops out. Senator Henning said that this law would apply to school problems.
I don't.
Senator Russell, now there's your three fields of thought, and they all agree.
Well, now, let me say this. Let's misrepresent this. I know you're not trying to do that, but I call it to your attention that the Attorney General himself said in his first day of testimony, Senator, before the Senate committee, that it would have some effect with respect to schools, but in only one particular field. He didn't deny it at all. There's been no effort, as Senator Russell seemed to indicate, that it had been covered up and had been hid and all that sort of thing.
It's clear that it does apply to the schools, but nearly all the things that have been said about it said it was merely a right
to
vote.
Like to
and that's what Senator Russell complained of, and I complained too.
You down there now as a good friend of the South. Yeah. And I have the utmost admiration for you and the men from the South that I've met. And I've met nearly all the senators. I like them immensely. They're good friends of mine. What's going to be the answer? I may agree or not agree with you on respect to the segregation or desegregation, but I can't help but face the situation as it is. The Supreme Court has spoken, and ordinarily that's the court of last resort. Now, I'd like to see that handled in such a way that if you feel and you can convince the people of this country that that's a wrong program, that we'll amend the Constitution to take care of, because the Constitution has now been interpreted by the courts, and I think you and I, as senators, have raised our right hands and sworn to uphold that Constitution, and that Constitution means what the Supreme Court says it means when it's ruled on it.
Senator,
and now that has been done, and what is going to be the answer? Shouldn't we work for an amendment to the Constitution if that's the proper step to take, or should we say flatly we want
Senator,
to not live up to it?
We've introduced amendments on that. I think there's some still before your committee, and no action has been taken on. I said there'd never surrender on the Senate floor on this point of jury trial and others, and I said that great areas of the South are not going to surrender their public school system that they've built up over these years, and unfortunately it's true that if necessary the public schools themselves would be abolished, and I'm sure that you don't want that to happen.
Now, on the Supreme Court decision,
you said it was unfortunate, and we feel
it's
like a man having his horse shot from under him. That's what they did to us in the South. Without a chance for us to be heard on a broad scale, both races had the horse shot from under them, because both races know that that's the only system of public schools that will survive. And that's the segregated school.
We have to fight for our schools. But I say that that isn't the way to settle it. The thing to do is to meet it like we should meet it. If the Constitution doesn't take care of the situation, then it ought to be amended in the regular way. We had to do that once.
Well, we feel like we haven't had our day in court and that matter has got to be decided again. That had been the law for 80 years, and without Congress changing the law or anyone else, the Supreme Court just met around the table and reversed all the decisions and started out on a new path, not based on law, but on psychological books.
What about a national referendum on this issue, Senator? Would that solve the problem?
Well, there is no way under the Constitution that we could have a national referendum on a thing of that sort. I don't think that that's a type of thing that you could submit to the people of the country in one short campaign. You'd have all the emotions, the hatreds, and viciousness that would be accompanying some of these contests in the South where he says there is deep feeling. You never could settle anything that way. It's got to be settled with tolerance and in a quiet, calm atmosphere. It can't be done any other way, in my judgment. Mm-hmm. We can't have these just rip-roaring campaigns where abuse is heaped on abuse and one side blasts the other, because we'll never get a solution that way. That's not the way to settle these matters.
Senator Watkins, if this matter could be really debated before the American people, apart from candidates, apart from platforms, apart from who's going to be president or senator or representative, apart from everything except the merits, I have no doubt what their verdict would be, and I'd be glad to abide by it. We're now being pushed around by pressure groups, and including a lot of well-intentioned people, as you are, that are supporting this.
Well, how about the voting
rights? I tell you, we could submit this thing. Why? Ever since 1934, we have submitted to the people. We've submitted elections to people about how many acres of cotton they're going to plant, corn and wheat, and that's been going on since 1934.
Yes, but they have something coming to them from the United States.
The Supreme Court has expressly upheld the law that provided for that election. So this matter could be submitted in the same way that cotton acres or wheat acres are submitted. It's legal under this Supreme Court decision. There you would get a test as to really what the sentiment was of the people after this thing had been fully explained.
Now, suppose, would you also agree to submit whether the Negroes should have the full right to vote without being taxed for that purpose by poll tax and other restrictions?
Anything that we would submit in the referendum on this, question. You go into a proposition about taxes, why, of course, that can be submitted in constitutional amendments, and we've had up those bills here to just pass a law. I don't remember how you voted on that, but it never did get far enough.
Well, how about fair employment practices and anti-lynching bills and poll tax?
If those matters are submitted a few enough at a time, and where there's time to really go out and explain them and get it before the people, I'd be glad to submit it on the merits, apart from all other political considerations.
All these other matters that I've mentioned as well.
Well, yes. Not all at one time. It'd be impossible to explain all at one time.
Well,
but in the course.
You're going to settle the issue. In the course of a few years.
Well, the schools are closer to the heart of all of us. We have schools
that are operating. We have colored people in our schools.
We have them in many of the northern sections of the United States.
We have Indians in our schools, where only very few whites are in the schools with them.
The conditions will be like I've told you, in great areas of our country where this division of the races is what I have said. Now, may I say one special plea for our schools? I want to make a special plea. Don't destroy our schools. You can't build them on writs of injunction and judicial orders and United States Marshal's warrants, nor on bayonets. Schools are built and operated through things that come out of the heart, the feeling of the people, the cooperative attitude that the people have one toward the other. And that's the way we build our schools. That's what we have, I know, in Mississippi. Why, we have thousands of Negro teachers well paid on the same salary scale, about 7,000 of them, I think, and they're devoted and dedicated to that work, and they know better than anyone else.
They'd still be working.
My point is, they know better than anyone else the necessity of keeping those schools together. Why
are they objecting to this bill? Are your Negro people of the South objecting to this bill?
Left on a free expression, absolutely they would.
Well,
I know. I know them. I've talked to them.
I live among them.
I have living next door to me a Negro family, and I know their thought. We have our friendship, but we don't want the same schools, nor the same churches, nor the same social affairs. Neither one wants them. So it's that mutuality of feeling that makes these schools.
With a few seconds left, I'd like to ask this question. Is this going to be debated for weeks and months? Is that the way it looks now? And what will happen in the South, Senator, if the bill is approved?
Well, the story that's been told about this bill has not been a full nor accurate one. And its provisions must be exposed. And we propose to expose it on the floor of the Senate, as Senator Russell has already done.
I agree with you that the provisions of this bill haven't been fully explained, and that's exactly what we want to do, because we think it has been misrepresented.
Why, Senator?
We think that our good friends from the South have been seeing ghosts under every bed and every closet.
The President of the United States, in all his sincerity, has made three different statements about this bill, and as late as last Wednesday, I think it was, called for a copy of it and said at his press conference, frank and honest as he is, that there's some things he didn't understand about it.
Well, there are many people that don't understand. That could be true. That's one reason why I, as one of the proponents of the bill, want the opportunity to explain it. And I know in 30 minutes here that we can't hope to explain it. That bill, I think, are good. It is a moderate bill. It doesn't contain any other features.
I must interrupt, gentlemen.
We were here to explain both sides.
Well, we have ample opportunity.
I've got to interrupt, gentlemen. Our time is up. Our guests today have been Senator Arthur V. Watkins, Republican of Utah, Senator John Stennis, Democrat of Mississippi.